Paul Robeson was one of the greatest men who ever lived. He was a tower of strength and principle and a man of genius, whose voice as a singer and as an advocate for the poor and the oppressed rings out through the ages. And about 50 years ago, he was banned from entering Canada. He was banned from entering Canada not by Ottawa, but by Washington, which had taken away his passport. In the interests of freedom and liberty, you understand. And so, Paul Robeson addressed an audience of thousands in Vancouver, singing Old Man River down a telephone line amplified into the auditorium. So I say to the government of Canada from this great university, if next Monday I'm turned away from the borders of your beautiful country, the technology now exists not just to sing down a telephone line, but on live television to address an audience 10 times larger than it would have been if you hadn't tried to stop me coming in. And I'm saying this in the United States of America. I told an interviewer from Canadian Broadcasting earlier today, you can be more royal than the king. You can even be more Catholic than the Pope. But you can't be more anti-terrorist than the United States Homeland Security. And the fact that I'm here addressing audiences, large audiences, all over the United States, over the next 10 to 12 days, is an indication that a wind of change is blowing here in the United States, and that wind of change is filled with hope for all of us around the world. And that your government in Canada, by contrast, is the last redoubt of the dead-end, has-been, neocon Bush years, and you will be swept away soon by the electorate in Canada, God willing. In fact, I must tell you that, you know, they say the RCMP, the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, they always get their man. Well, I always get my man, too. Ask ex-Senator Norm Coleman of Minnesota. And tonight they told me on the Canadian television that there's speculation. I know this is hard to believe. I can hardly believe it myself. There's speculation that this affair may bring down the right-wing government in Canada. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Now, I'm very honored to be here, not just because there have been said, not even because of the wonderful music and words that we've enjoyed this evening, outstanding though it was, but because these envelopes on your table must fill. They must fill with every piece of folding paper that you can afford and more. Because the story I'm going to tell you this evening is fresh, or rather rancid, from the front. For I have just been, as many of you know, in Gaza. And the situation there is bleaker than you can imagine. The devastation of the 22-day war, if we can dignify it with the description war, it was an episode unique in history where those who locked the only doors out of the most densely populated piece of on the planet then rained down death and destruction on the people they'd locked in to this tiny area. There is no other conflict in which that has ever happened. In every other war, the people can flee as refugees, but those who controlled the gates were the same people who killed and maimed and orphaned thousands of people in those 22 days, which, thanks to the explosion of new media, we all were able to watch in all of its horror. Mr. Rupert Murdoch and the others no longer control our access to information. We have Al Jazeera, we have Press TV, we have the internet, we have the means to know the truth now, and that money is out of the bottle and will never be able to be put back. That devastation that you saw is still exactly the position as it was when the bombs temporarily, no doubt, fell silent. Why? Because no reconstruction is possible because of the siege. Why is there a siege? Because the Palestinian people voted in a way, in the only, with respect to Syria, a country I admire, still the only free and democratic election ever held in any Arab country, elected the government in Palestine, which the people in power in Washington, in London, in Tel Aviv didn't like. Now, I'll be candid with you, including to my friend at the back. I'm not a supporter of Hamas myself. I never was. All my life, and to the last day of his, when I stood outside the Percy Military Hospital in Paris, I was a friend and a comrade and a confidant of the late President Yasser Arafat. May God rest his soul. If I had a vote in Palestine, which maybe I do now, I've been given a passport, my vote would be for Marwan Barghouti, now languishing in the Israeli prisons for 99 years on trumped-up charges. So I'm not a supporter of Hamas, but I am a supporter of democracy and the project of trying to choose who represents other people is a doomed project and is ultimately bound to fail. And that's why, when we arrived in Gaza with hundreds of vehicles and hundreds of people and millions of pounds, we gave the keys to the vehicles, the contents of the vehicles, and the money we collected to the democratically elected government of Palestine. And what else could a democratically elected politician do? Was I supposed to give it to the people that the democratically elected government defeated? Was I supposed to walk around Gaza looking for hard luck cases to distribute the aid?